one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, we your number one spot.
Let's go, baby, one more time, because it's Friday.
Come on now.
It's good.
It's good, man. Come on, man. Hey, I'm charged up, man. The Kings are back.
A word?
I'm charged up, man.
You doing that?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. I'm charged up. The Kings are back. It's a sprint to the playoffs. We got to get there. Come on, man. Let's go.
All right. Well, I was going to fire off a record to get us started.
Let's go. Fire off that record.
Well, they've all been replaced by slow songs. I was like, I'll pull one from the archives. What do we got? And it's like, well, it doesn't really match the mood, so that ain't going to do it. We'll just go back over here. Well, I mean, nope, that doesn't do it. Nope, none of these.
Jam Station.
I mean, that, well.
1320.
Well, peer pressure works.
Ooh.
Peer pressure.
There we go.
Peer pressure can be productive.
There we go.
Had a conversation to start the day. Complex twice this week. It says, hey, we need to talk about this slow jam thing. All right. Said it to me yesterday. Hey, we got to talk about this slow jam thing. Yeah. Come in tomorrow before you do the show. All right. So come in and it's like, he was like, all right, what's this look like? It's like, well, you know, we go between the sheets,
mm-hmm.
maybe Sunday night, mm-hmm. a couple hours on Sunday night, and we just take calls. We play, you know, I talk like this the whole time, and you know, we play slow jams.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
There we go. Come on, man. Air horns,
so
man.
Between the sheets.
Air horns, man.
Between the sheets let's is go. On its way back.
Let's go.
Ah!
Air horns. Yeah, let's go. Boy.
Welcome in here to the Friday, February 21st edition of D'Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God Bone himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
From the worst slums of Sacramento.
Just realize, this is on the
ain't
board.
Ain't this what they've been waiting for?
Yeah, I'm not done with my feud with the Eagles fans, but it can be played now.
I mean, this is all we really have. Yeah. I don't know, this is a great hype record.
Who's down 3-1?
But I had replaced all our little hotkeys over on the KSFM side with all them slow songs we was playing the other day. So all of the, like the Mac Dre's and the E4, yeah, that yeah. stuff was replaced with Luther and Rick James.
Sorry. Shout out Rick James.
Oh,
Freak. We got Super Freak?
I bet we do. You know, I got to – we'll work on it. We'll do some Flashback Friday today. We'll do
but
some
I'm turned up, man. The Kings are back in action. They're going up against the hated Warriors. But even more than that, the Kings are back. And there's 27 games left. And I'm trying to see these guys get to the playoffs. And I know, you know, a lot of people, you know, they play their roles. You know, whatever. People talk as fans and they get frustrated. They just throw things out and that's cool too. And then, you know, people talk as journalists and they want to be realist and, you know, and talk all that stuff. I'm going to talk as if people in that locker room. And if I was one of those guys, if I was Doug Christie, I'm not going to be worried about all this other the noise that's out there. You have an opportunity in front of you.
Yep.
You've got an opportunity. We said it even when he first took over the job. I know it looks bleak. I know, you know, there's been a lot of frustrations and all this other stuff. But everything that you want is still in front of you. You still have an opportunity to achieve everything that you set out to achieve that first day of training camp. Man, take advantage of it, man. You're not Utah. Yeah. You're not Washington and all this. Let's go. You got an opportunity. Let's get it, man. Let's go.
Yeah. I'm with you, and I like that. But we aren't in that locker room. And you ain't a professional athlete if you're not taking that approach. Like most of these guys, most of them, not all of them, the most competitive people on the planet. Like that's part of what they do. It's not just for the, you know, again, there are some. It's not just for the riches and the lifestyle. It's because, yo, I've been all of these guys. They have been the very best at what they do since they were kids.
Yep.
And whether it's proven it in AAU, it's proven it in high school, it's proven it in college, or it's proven it in the NBA. You have a unique group of really talented individuals on this team. What does it amount to when they take the floor tonight after a week of rest, a couple of days of practice, and what I feel like is a pretty great sense of urgency.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got the Warriors tonight. It's not just the Warriors, the rivalry. It's the Warriors who just acquired Jimmy Butler. It's the Warriors who were the talk of the past weekend because of San Francisco in the All-Star game and Steph Curry and Draymond Green, like it or not. Like, that's part of the discussion. Their vibes clearly are up, and you've got an opportunity to get a game and a half on them tonight. One win gets you a game and a half, and that half becomes really, really critical as the season continues to wind down.
Mm-hmm.
It's game to game, it's night to night, but man, you can course correct here real quick if you're able to beat the Golden State Warriors tonight.
Yeah, you absolutely can. And you know, you like I said, you've got an opportunity, and I know a lot of people are upset with that last game that went down, and you know what could have been and all this other stuff, but you've got the four games before the break. It was New Orleans three times, one against Dallas. We were able to go 3-1. You got the Warriors here. You've got the Jazz. You've got the Hornets. Excuse me, Hornets, then Jazz. I mean, I know it's frustrating that you didn't get that win, but, man, if you're able to go 6-1 in those seven games, even 5-2, that's playing good basketball. Like I'm not going to sneeze at 5-2. I'm not going to be like, oh, well, you only played this team or whatever. Man, 5-2 basketball, 6-1 potentially. Like, hell yeah. Hell yeah, take that. You know what I mean? And that's a good springboard into a tough stretch or whatever. But, you know, I know the schedule's tough and all this other stuff. But like I said, I think about it differently sometimes, man. Like, if you're worried about who you played, then just get the hell out the way then.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yep. Oh, man, we played and such. Man, who cares about all that? If you're worried about that, then move. You ain't ready for it anyway. You're going to have to play these teams eventually anyway.
Yep.
So go ahead and be ready to play and get some dubs, man. So it's an opportunity that starts tonight.
And there's no reason to enter this opportunity feeling negative. Like, whether you're a fan or you're, I mean, I don't think players enter these situations feeling down at all. But if you're a fan and you've been frustrated by some of the conversations over the last week, really since the New Orleans games, you've been frustrated with the D'Los or the Matt Georges or the James Hams or whoever. Like, that's fine. I tell you this, like, we've got a job to do,
mm-hmm.
right? And we had a week's worth of content without the team that we cover 90%+ of our show playing. And those were my honest feelings. I'm assuming James was given his honest feelings. I'm assuming Matt was given his honest feelings. Okay. Well, we're here now. It's game day. And all of that is washed. Go out there and win a basketball game.
Yeah, man.
Go out there and be the, you know, the offensive juggernaut that you could be. Go out there and find some cohesion on the offensive end. Go out there and figure out some things on the defensive end. That's just not LaVine and DeMar and Keon and Malik and those guys. That's Doug, too. That's Doug. That's Jay. That's the rest of that group. That's the rest of that coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
This organization has a lot to figure out over the course of the next 20, you know, seven games or whatever the number is. Yeah. You've got some things you've got to figure out, and it starts with those guys out there on the floor. And, you know, going to this, the arena is going to be jumping tonight. It's going to be very, very loud in downtown Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
And, yo, keep them vibes up, man. Let's cook. Let's work.
And for the we've had a longstanding discussion on this show about coaching and all this other stuff. And, you know, we joked around and that coaching doesn't matter. Well, I'll tell you this. If it matters, let's see it.
Yep.
Because I believe in Doug Christie's approach to the game of basketball. This isn't about, oh, man, I loved him when he played here, and I always loved Doug Christie. Yeah, that's cool, and I do. But the way he approaches the game of basketball is something that I believe in. It's something that I believe can affect teams in a positive way.
Yeah.
And here's an opportunity. I'm not asking them to turn water into wine, but this is an opportunity where all the coaching does matter, crowd. This is it. You've got a coach that you believe in. You don't have somebody that you feel is overmatched or anything else like that. So let's see him affect, you know, the way this team plays and put whatever percentage that a coach matters in those situations. Let's see him maximize that in those situations. I believe that one of the reasons why I think they can turn things around and have a successful finish is because of Doug Christie.
Absolutely.
So that's, I guess there will be one time in life I think coaching matters.
And there will, wow. mark this moment. Holy crap. This is a historic moment in the history of D'Lo and KC. But there, you know, Doug's going to have tough decisions to make. And some of them might involve scenarios like Matt George laid out yesterday, or like you have laid out for the last week, where something's not going the way it should be on the defensive end, and you need to try something else. And whether it's it's not Zach's night. I got to swap out what Keon can do defensively for the hope of what Zach can do offensively, or it's DeMar, or it's Keegan, or it's Valanciunas over Sabonis. Like, whatever it is, like those are we've seen Doug make those tough decisions. We've seen him make them with DeMar. We've seen him make them with Malik, and they've paid off. And I don't think Doug is afraid of making those decisions.
Right.
They're just, you know, the execution of that type of stuff is tough. It's you don't have any time to play with. Like, you've got to make that move immediately. Because, like, all right, I'm going Keon here for whoever. But if you're not calling timeout and you're waiting for the next dead ball, how many possessions do you lose? If you're trying to hold on to timeouts late in the game, so there's just a lot. You know, there's a lot happening here. There's a lot Doug has to figure out. There's a lot that I expect Doug to figure out. There's a lot that I expect this team to figure out. And as frustrated as I've been with them the last week, or maybe as dejected as I've been with them the last week, I'm going to go into this game tonight against the Warriors feeling good about their shot. Mm-hmm. They don't have the added, you know, Jimmy Butler vibes. That's fine. Shut theirs down. Send them into whatever their next game is, questioning themselves.
Yep.
We'll come back. We'll talk to our man Kyle Mattson. The show is pretty packed today. Kyle Mattson going to be with us. Mikey Winfield, he's going to be at the Punchline this weekend. He's going to be in studio with us coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Eddie Gonzalez, he's here every Friday. And then Will Z going to join us in the final hour of the show. We are thrilled that you are here with us. It's D'Lo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Controversy has erupted inside the Odyssey building.
What James told us before the show?
I was having a fantastic morning. It was great. I got into the kitchen going on March 7th.
What did we miss?
You don't want to know. Yeah, he's right there. Yeah, Turn around and ask him.
No, go ask
Turn
him.
Around and ask. Yeah, no, I want you. No, no, no. Hold on. I'm going to put you on camera.
And don't.
I'm going to put you on camera.
He's talking to Charlie right now.
No, it's fine. Just poke your head out there and say, hey, what did you tell the guys right before you left the studio?
And make sure the mic is off.
Yep.
Damn, it's like that bad?
No, go. I just, because can we see him? Yeah. I just want to see what his reaction is. Just ask him, hey,
everybody leaves, so it's just Jesse's.
There we go.
There we go. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, look at it. He's getting the word. He's getting the word right now.
Now, James is being told. Let's see James' reaction.
He's laughing.
James is laughing. There's Pamela Love right there. Oh, Lord. Oh, look. Charlie's leaning in. Oh, dear. Oh, boy. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. This is bad.
He's breaking it down.
Okay. So, no, we'll just wait. He's getting the full story here.
This probably should be behind closed doors.
Now, okay, Jesse's back. So.
I don't think he told you. You can't tell him that.
No, I think he could have. I don't know that he could have told him.
So, how did BYU come up?
Well, Casey's an alum there.
Shout out BYU. No, BYU Cougar, that's me. You know, one of my colleges.
Be part of an inside joke.
Well, I don't think you want to be a part of this one.
This one, man.
I don't even think this is an inside joke.
I had never heard this in my
Ham,
life.
Ham was just oversharing. That's all.
I had never heard this
James
in my life.
Ham?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
This was crazy.
Okay. Boy. No, that wasn't the controversy that erupted. It's clear that someone very close to us has air fried a steak. And we had to chase this story down. We were able to find it. We found out that it is accurate. Our beloved Kimberly has in fact air fried a steak.
It was one of those things where I kind of was hoping I was wrong.
No, you were right.
Well, you did pin it on Complex. That was tough.
No, she's doing a lot here. I said, do you do this regularly? She's like, I usually reverse sear on the Traeger. That's right. The proper way to do it. That's the proper way to do it.
Okay.
But I've done a tri-tip in the air fryer, LOL.
A whole tri-tip?
That is crazy. That is absolutely crazy.
What are we doing?
Why would you do that? Doing?
And what do you do if you go to a barbecue?
That's when you have so much money, you could just throw away whatever that tri-tip costs.
And look, I'm a pro air fryer guy. Like, I believe in it, but, I mean, I'm not.
If you went to someone's house, like, oh, yeah, cook the tri-tip up, and, like, as soon as you're about to eat, he's like, yeah, I just got out the air fryer. Like, are we good?
Nah.
I think you were doing
it. I'll eat it. It's people cooking. I'll eat it. Like, it probably won't be no good, but... I ain't going to go to somebody's house and be like, no, I'm not eating it.
No, I'm sorry.
Arnold, if you invite me to your house, like, tell me you're going to cook and you air fry some food. Like,
if someone brings you to the house and they air fry a steak, they don't like you very much.
Yeah.
Like, they're not very fond of you.
I guess well, probably facts.
Look, I'll tell you like this. It'll never happen. But if I happen to air fry a steak and I offer it to you and you say, nah, I'm cool, you air fried it, get the hell out of my house. Goodbye. Goodbye. Oh. Get the hell out of here. I'm offering you food that I took time to make and took time out of my schedule. But you get the hell out of here.
No, but did you?
But did you? Like, it takes some kind of effort.
But you didn't do anything. But you threw the text.
You don't need to explain yourself. Get the hell out.
Okay.
You hit the plus button to add to like 25 minutes or whatever. Yeah.
At that point, it's like, cool. I'm already in Elk Grove. I'm just going to go to SR Prime. I'm going to go to Dragon Ball. I'll holler. Kyle Madsen at the Insiders.
You a bowl of cereal and you say no. Goodbye.
It'll be better than that air fried steak you made.
Goodbye.
Be better than that probably ugly colored stuff you pulled out of the French fry crumbs on it. Like, what am I going to do with this?
The edges are cooked.
Oh, Kyle hates this. Oh man,
I'm having a great time listening to your program.
Thank you.
I like this show so much.
We have a good show. It's fun. It's fun. We're very much an acquired taste here on D'Lo and KC. Well, Hoffa says Morton's air fries their steaks according to.
Oh man,
Cajun
ribeye can't be. If that Cajun ribeye is air fried, then I'll be doing that tonight.
Can you imagine?
I don't think Morton's air fries their steak. I just don't think they're good.
You go to Morton's and you get a piece of steak, and then you hear in the back, you hear, chukum, kum.
So bad. About 12 minutes, guys. 12 minutes. Be good. Be good. You all right over there?
No, I'm hanging in there.
This whole building is so infected right now, it's frustrating.
That's why I didn't pull up.
Huh?
There's other people who are sick?
The whole wake-up call has been sick.
They've been sick for 2 months.
Well, all right, settle down. Paul's not feeling great.
You got the sniffles, too?
I'm great.
That's how you know he's not
for great. The record, yeah. I'm fantastic. Yeah.
When he yelled for
him, go ahead and drop it. I don't get sick.
I don't. Hey, first of all, you could kiss my ass. I've had about enough of you. You're a little turncoat. I don't. I got sick once, and it was post Disneyland. I was infected, but outside of that, man,
they tried
I'm great.
To take you out at Disneyland.
They did well.
Hey,
I was trying. Yeah, well. That's true. Well, all right, Scar, Kyle, relax. How are you feeling about the Kings Warriors tonight?
Great. I can't wait for basketball to be back, man.
Man, well, that's
it'll be fun. It's going to be a really good game.
I messed up. I dropped the ball. There was a between the show ending and USA Canada, there was time.
Mm.
So I flipped over to Celtics Sixers. And I swear by the time we flipped over to that game, the game was over.
Done.
And I was just kind of like, yo, basketball, we got good basketball back. Watched a little bit of the Lakers, you know, Hornets, whatever. But, like, we got basketball back. We got league pass, all of that. I forgot to turn it back. And that was my fault because we got wrapped up in the KSFM show. I forgot to turn it back to hockey. Saw nothing but the overtime. But point in all of that was last night's slate of games, at least the national ones, were a little underwhelming. Though the Phoenix game wasn't bad. I thought the Texas thing was cool.
Yeah, that was dope. And it's always good to see, like, beef. So
I'm sorry, what?
Beef. Come on, man.
Bruh.
Come on.
What are we doing?
What are we talking about?
It's good to see what?
Oh, the double T?
Wow.
Double little T's?
Wow.
Got him out of here?
Act like you've been there before. Relax, Draymond.
Pause.
Austin Reeves over here. Settle down.
Pause that. It's always good to see altercations.
Okay, all right.
Oh.
Well, that's a lot different. Jesus.
Not even a second thought. Like, you didn't even think about it.
He, like, looked at me like, what?
Well, if I would have, okay, it was something else. Yeah, it was something else. That would have been more egregious.
All right.
But no, it's good to see altercations between two players.
Let me ask you from a perspective. You know both of these teams that are playing tonight really well. From a Warrior standpoint, you know, you got Draymond guaranteeing titles. You've got kind of the center of the basketball universe there in San Francisco and around Steph and the Warriors. You got that Jimmy Butler deal. Jimmy Butler was a big, you know, of course, Jimmy Butler was drowned out by, you know, Luka Doncic and everything that went on with the Lakers and Mavericks. Not so much by what went on with De'Aaron Fox, but he didn't wind up in his so-called preferred destination. He gets to Golden State and, like, oh, okay, you know, Golden State wasn't playing too bad before the break. And, you know, now you've got this kind of wild card in place and you've got the team feeling good. Like, what's your feelings? Let's start with the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, I think the Jimmy move, you're right, because it we kind of knew that was coming for what felt like 2 months. So when he got traded, it was like, oh, finally. Okay. And then Golden State didn't give up anything. Like, the losing Andrew Wiggins is a pretty significant deal. But gaining Jimmy Butler, I think, makes up for that in a lot of ways. So, like, it was just kind of a weird thing. But I don't know that I personally am not going to guarantee a title for them. I'm not there yet. But I do think this, like, cements them in the play-in tournament. Whether they're 7, 8, 9, or 10.
How do you feel about 6?
Nah.
Really?
I don't think they're good enough.
Okay.
I was worried before the trade that they might fall out of 10. Like, they just didn't. The lack of secondary creation and shot making was just abysmal, dude. Like, they had so many lineups they'd run out there where it's like Draymond and Pods and Quentin Post. And it's just like a lot of guys who aren't going to be the dude. And now they have a guy who's going to be the dude when he's on the floor. And that puts them firmly into the tier with the Timberwolves and the Kings and the Mavericks. I think.
I do think that the Warriors are kind of, you know, they're still flawed. I worry about their shooting, being able to spread the floor outside of Steph Curry. And, and that's an issue. But I think they can get through these final 27 games or so relatively fine because of something you guys were talking about on the Insiders earlier, and that's that strength of schedule. Mm-hmm. Like, the teams that would, like, give them problems with their weaknesses, they're not going to see them as much. So, you know, when you're playing, I'm looking right here, they got two against Charlotte. They've got two against the Blazers, they might get them, but the Sixers, the Nets, the Pelicans, like, you play those teams, they're not going to be able to expose those weaknesses. And when you don't play the good teams as much, it's really about getting there. That's what this is about. When you get to the playoffs, like, yeah, you're going to have an issue, but final 27, I think they do have an opportunity. I think they can get to that sixth seed.
I don't disagree, but I think they can get to the sixth seed just like the same way I think the Kings can get there. Like, it's going to take something that I personally don't expect, and it's going to take the Clippers falling off and no teams, whether it's Minnesota or Dallas, making any kind of run of their own. So it's like it's on the table. I wouldn't necessarily bank on it, though.
I don't think
they
that's...
also can't defend very well. Like, you have Draymond running around. Like,
we can relate.
That's great. But you lose Andrew Wiggins, and, like, point of attack has been the big, like, phrase du jour for Golden State. And you have Gary Payton the second, which is, like, fine. But they don't have a guy who can you're comfortable being on the floor for 35 minutes and defending the opposing team's best.
They're small, player. Too.
Yeah. Yeah, they got a lot of, they have a lot of flaws, for sure. But they're going to win a title, so.
That's what amazing. I heard. That's what I heard, writing checks that Steph has to cash. I think you mentioned Dallas and Minnesota as teams, like, if they don't make a substantial run, like the Kings or the Warriors, and we'll have a separate conversation about Phoenix as the day rolls along. Mm. But, you know, you're like, oh, if they don't make a substantial run, you know, the Kings, the Warriors, they could pounce on that. I think that's a very realistic scenario. Mm. At some point, someone's just got to admit Minnesota is what they are. Like, you are what you are. Like, mm-hmm. right now, last year is the outlier.
Right.
And every other year with Minnesota is exactly the same. This is a different group where everybody thinks they're worse. And they're playing as such. Dallas, I feel like they're, you know, the post-Luka damage. Another freaking article was written today. Like, they can't stop defending themselves over this. Mm. And it's, yeah, I can see this kind of, I could see Dallas kind of falling back a little bit. Kyrie doing everything he can. I don't think that's a bad roster, mm-hmm. but I could see the toll of these, you know, these last few weeks kind of hit them a little bit. And even if they don't dive, that run that Kyle was just talking about right there, maybe it doesn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I saw yesterday, I was trying to remember, it was like 6 or 7 games they have until they're going to reevaluate Derek Lively, Daniel Gafford, and Anthony Davis all at once.
Mm.
And I think they have like 6 games until then. And so maybe all those guys come back really shortly after that and they put some games together. But yeah, man, I think Kyrie, as good as he's been, I think he can kind of keep them afloat here in the 7, 8, 9, 10 range. But yeah, I don't see Dallas ripping off, you know, 12 out of 15 or anything crazy like that. But Kyrie's good enough to keep him in the mix. Absolutely.
Yeah. I like you mentioned with Minnesota and them just kind of being what they are. I don't know if they have another gear to get to for the regular season. I don't know if Dallas does.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that the Kings and the Warriors have another, like a little bit of a higher ceiling right now. Hmm. And I wonder if they'll be able to get to that. Like, that's, once again, I say the Kings, that doesn't mean they will get that. But I think there's a world where they, man, offense is cooking, they figure out some things with the rotation. Maybe they're just outscoring guys left and right, you know, and I think that could lend itself to a lot of wins. The Warriors, you've got Jimmy Butler and Kuminga comes back and all this other stuff. The ceiling is high. Like, I don't see Minnesota being much better than what they are right now. They could just be like this in the seventh seed, but I don't see them going on any type of a run.
Does it feel like, talking about ceilings, it feels to me like Minnesota's at their ceiling. I didn't think Julius Randle was going to be a great fit to begin with.
Mm.
And the fact that we're 50 some odd games in and they haven't figured anything out, I don't think there's anything to figure out. I think this is just kind of what the Timberwolves are. But KC, to your point, like, I think the Kings ceiling is way higher than whatever we've seen. Like, for sure. And Golden State's might be higher than what we've seen from them this year. And Dallas, certainly, if they get healthy, if they're healthy going into the play-in, I don't think anybody's going to want to play Dallas, right? But on the other hand, yeah, the Timberwolves are just kind of there. Like, yeah. I think they're really gettable on any given night, and I think they're just like, this is what they are.
I want to ask both of you guys a question real quick.
Okay.
I said this yesterday with Matt George, and I want to see what you got, what you thought about it, D'Lo, and what you think about it, Kyle. Mm. I think the Kings, the way their roster is constructed, actually, I see them personally, actually being good for the playoffs. Like, when things slow down, when it becomes more of a half-court game, when you need those type of bucket getters in the half-court, I think they're a little bit more equipped for that. I don't know if they can get there. That's the scary thing
you
about
said
it.
The Kings.
The Kings, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if they can get there. That's the scary thing about it. But if they were to get into the playoffs in a playoff series, I think they're equipped for playoff basketball a little bit more than maybe people give them credit for. Well, what you guys think?
Go ahead, Kyle.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I'm always going to have concerns about what they look like defensively. But I think once you get into a series, A, that would be a big question I have with the Kings in a playoff series is what does Doug Christie and that staff do in a playoff series? Mm-hmm. What are they like that? That's a lot of adjusting on the fly. And maybe they'd be great at it. I just, that's a question I would have going in. But yeah, I think you're right. Like when it comes down to it, you have DeMar DeRozan who's played in a ton of big games. You have Malik Monk who's kind of built for those spots. You have Zach LaVine who's not played in a ton of playoff games, but you like him to go get a bucket. Like that's an advantage for sure. But I think when things get a little more physical and the whistle stops blowing as much, what do they look like? Sorry, I got my trains of thought crossed there. I would just have concerns defensively still, but I mean, that's always going to be there with this roster. But to your point, when it comes down to you need a bucket at the end of the game, there's not a ton of teams with this many guys that you trust in those spots.
Why? I'm not
sorry
out.
For babbling there. I got all you're, mixed up.
You're good. It's fine. You're on medicine. It's fine. You got it.
Kyle Portis.
And yet I still understood everything you were saying. Why do both of you, I think, feel like the Kings offense is so well equipped in the half court?
Because you have a DeMar DeRozan, you got a Zach LaVine, you got creators that can create one-on-one.
Is Zach LaVine a creator?
He has the ability to.
Okay.
He has the ability to. He has the ability to create his own shot. For sure.
Okay, so that's okay, that was my second question. Create for himself or create for others?
Create for himself. I think he's better at creating for others than maybe, I'll just speak for myself, than I thought he was. Like he's, okay. I mentioned about a week
ago. He probably put me on that list. That's why I'm asking the question.
I mentioned it the other day. Zach LaVine doesn't take bad shots. Like if it's not, if it's not like something that's really open or, you know, a good shot, you know, obviously, he's not going to just jack up a lot of shots. So with that comes, he'll make the right basketball decision, his basketball IQ. So if somebody's there, if the back cut is there, if, you know, you swing it to the extra man, extra pass, he'll do that, man. And I compare that to what we saw last year at the end of the season when it was just Fox as a creator and as a guy that can create his own shot. And the Kings were living and dying, taking 52 threes a game, and they would blow these leads because once runs would start happening, they couldn't get to the free throw line, they couldn't get to the basket, they had nothing there. I think this team is the opposite of that. Like, they'll be able to stop runs. They'll be able to score in the half court with DeRozan, Monk, LaVine, and even Sabonis to a certain degree.
Yeah, I think it's just hard to game plan for, right? Like, there's not one guy where you just get the ball out of his hands and everything's good. There's not a specific offense they're running where you get keyed into it over the course of a 7-game series. It's like your best defender is going to be on DeRozan and your second best defender is going to be on LaVine and your third best defender is going to be on Monk. And you got to try and match up with Sabonis too. That just gets really tough because it's not like you can just double a guy and be good. So yeah, I think if you get into a playoff series, they'd be tough. I don't know if I'd necessarily pick them against any team they'd play against in the top half of the West, but I don't think it's like, let's say they just get the 7 seed. I don't think it's they go in against Denver and it's like, oh, Denver in 4. I don't think it'd be that easy.
Getting to the playoffs right
that's
now just seems like
part.
An amazing
like that is.
I hate that feels like such an accomplishment.
Yeah, that's the toughest part. I don't know if they can get there.
I feel like if you took this exact roster, minor tweaks this offseason into next year, and you know they're a losing the play-in type team, it is a lot different than if you take this exact same roster, make a few tweaks in the offseason, and you lost in 4, 5, 6, 7 to the Denver Nuggets or the Oklahoma City Thunder or whoever. Mm-hmm. It's like at no point at the beginning of the year did we think that was good enough. But at this point, just Just don't miss the goddamn playoffs.
This might be more macro than you want to go, but you talk about, regardless of the result this season, you go, you got to make some minor tweaks this offseason. I just hope it's a new front office doing it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the last 3 years we've gone, oh, this roster, you just need a couple of minor tweaks. That would be, like I said, zooming out, regardless of how the season ends.
I'm with you. You guys are both rocking 49ers gear. Casey brought this up yesterday. I'll throw a 49ers question at you before you leave. There's no chance Debo's getting traded, right?
I'm not going to say no chance. I think it's really slim. If there's, so I guess Jeremy Fowler reported that there are several teams interested in trading for him or whatever. If that's really the case and that's not the Niners blowing smoke, then maybe they get a sixth for him or something like that. But I don't think a team wants to give up draft capital to then have to also pay Debo. Like, they'll just wait for him to hit the free agent market and go after him there. That's what I think is going to happen, and it's going to happen sooner rather than later. I'd be pretty shocked if they traded him.
One of the reasons why I said they weren't going to trade him is I forgot who it was. One of the NFL writers broke down the salary cap implications. It's like $47 million if you trade him on the dead
after
cap.
March 22nd.
Yeah. So if you trade him before March 22nd, it's just a dollar for dollar type deal, or?
They're going to have to eat $33 million. So basically, if they trade him, they're eating $33 million. Mm. If they cut him before June 1, they're eating, I think it's $33 million. I'm just going to say 33. It might
Does
be
that taste better than an air fried steak?
I don't know. $33 million, I might take a steak.
Yeah. So, but if they do the post June 1 thing, then they can spread that $33 million out over a couple of years. I forget the exact numbers. Doesn't really matter. But my guess is they cut him. They just take the entire dead cap hit this year and don't spread it out and just be done with it.
So it's 33 no matter what.
Yeah, unless they wait until March 22nd when his roster bonus kicks in and it becomes 47.
Oh, good. That's smart. Yeah, that's brilliant.
So whatever happens, it'll happen before March 22nd. And yeah, my guess is it'll happen like shortly before free agency, so Debo can get a head start on that.
Okay, that's great stuff. Appreciate you, Kyle. Thanks for toughing out the insiders this week while you're a little under the weather. Get some rest this weekend. Pop in those gummies you enjoy, and we'll see you back here. Okay. We're already sipping. Oh, I see. That's the beauty of doing a show at home, baby.
I got a phone call from Charlie, and he is my boss, and he said, get some rest and drink some bourbon. And I said, bet, coach, I got you.
That's old school right there. That's old school right there.
That's what you do. It's a good team player right there.
Yeah. That's old school. Put some hair on your chest.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, go enjoy that. Go enjoy the hairy chest, I guess. We'll see you. We'll see you back here on Monday.
What's going on here?
I don't know. It's Kyle Madsen. We'll be back. Stilo and Casey, Sacramento sports leader, I suppose, on ESPN 1320. All right, Jesse. I'm dying to see if Jesse shows like a string of emotion at his wedding.
Yeah.
Like if he's standing up there and.
Yeah, I think he might show right on.
Jesse?
Yeah. It's pretty. It's powerful up there.
No, it is. It is.
I said it too when I proposed. I think you guys are learn more about me. Like, cause we'll be with family and stuff like that. It's comfortable and stuff like that. Like, yeah.
Feel like your dad is gonna sob.
Oh, you know,
like your dad is. I feel like your dad is emotional. Your dad is emotional. Your dad's gonna cry.
He talks with feeling, but he don't get emotional. He won't cry.
I will bet Kenny's money that he won't sob though.
He won't sob. No,
your dad's gonna. He gonna be doing something.
Nah.
Okay.
I don't think so.
All right.
But yeah, Jesse definitely gonna shed a tear if he did it during the proposal. That was a moment too. I shed a tear. I could barely get the words out.
Where did you propose? Well, because the whole plan got messed up.
Well, it got a little spooky.
We were at Universal Studios that weekend.
Okay.
Yeah. Did it when they were doing the little New Year's fireworks thing or whatever.
Nice. Okay. All right.
Very Speaking good. Of, air horns in order.
Okay. Oh, I know
Keegan
where this
Murray.
Is going.
Yeah. Congratulations. He got engaged during his All-Star break, so that's awesome.
Good for him. Yeah. I don't know anything about that man's personal life, so good for him.
You think Keegan shed a tear?
I don't know. I genuinely have no idea.
He might have. It's a powerful moment. It is a powerful move.
No, it definitely is, but like I can't figure. Joe, what the hell are you doing?
No, he's doing something for me, bro.
Joe just walks in and starts taking. Joe, what are you doing? Joe just
following orders. No, well, it's not orders. I asked him if he could do me a favor.
Hey, Kenny saw Tristan had a camera person, and now he's got one.
Oh!
No, Joe's not my camera person.
Joe, come here. Joe. No, Joe.
I just needed him to do me a favor. No,
don't make eye contact with him. Did he make you be his camera person?
Make is a strong
word. Wow.
Make is a strong word.
Wow. Okay.
I asked Joe to do me a quick favor real quick. I needed the pic. My mom needed a picture real quick. So I asked Joe to take a picture. That's okay. It.
All right. All right. No, I think Jesse's on to something.
No. I can't afford Joe.
KC saw Trista had someone following her around everywhere. It was like. I'm gonna go get a Joe.
Yeah, bro. Joe,
let me get me a Joe.
Bro, I can't afford no Joe.
Walked in with his ESPN 1320 shirt on and everything.
Bro, Joe walked in and Casey points, go stand over there and take a picture.
What the hell is going on here?
My mom needed a picture real quick.
I thought Joe was coming in to get something. I was ready to let it ride. And then the man starts to position himself and start taking pictures. Like, what are we doing?
She needed an in-action photo real quick. And I asked Joe, I said, Joe, hey, are you still around? Do you think you'd take a quick picture real quick? So, well, I can't afford
it. I don't even want to know what your mom is up to right now. Or is it Mr. TikTok influencer over here? He's got Joe coming in getting TikTok footage for him.
That's just another ad thing. Like, people just walk in like, we're going to talk about it if you walk in. Like, it's not going to be normal.
No, well,
like,
I thought he'd be able to... And then
if you walk in, like, when, you know, the wake-up call will ignore you. They're professionals. But yeah. Justin will ignore you. You go walk in while we're doing our show on video. Everyone watches you walk in behind us, and then you just stand next to me and start taking pictures, and you don't think I'm going to respond to this.
Well, I thought just quick and get out of here, you know.
That's the most big
Well, he tried to. That wasn't his fault.
That was the most big but when he moment of the show.
Because I want to be clear.
It was a favor. Let me
be clear for those who... He wasn't taking pictures of us.
No, yeah, that was just for Kenny, by the way.
This was not an ESPN assignment. This was a Kenny. Now we know it was a Kenny Caraway direct order.
No, that's an order
to come in here and take pictures.
It was a favor. It was an ask. And my man Joe came through. Man, big ups to Joe.
I don't know. Joe did it when he was on the clock, so I think that counts.
Can he expense that?
I don't even want to know what your mom is up to.
I don't know. You just said, "Hey, do you have any pictures of you like on the air?" And I said, I don't really think so. Or if I do, they're like,
I don't
YouTube,
know. There's millions of hours of footage on the internet.
Yeah, but I need something a little clearer than that.
Okay.
A little clearer than that.
HD cameras aren't enough for KC, I guess.
just Joe just probably got a concert to host or, you know, some place to be for the promotions team. It's like, hey, Joe, come here, man. Probably slipped him 100 or something to come in and take a picture.
I wish I could, man.
Look, and all that matters, Joe says, we got the shot.
Man. He did. That's my boy. That's my man's in them right there.
Got the shot, Mr.
Shout out to Joe. Was he here for that late night concert that happened last night?
I think he was. They were
I didn't
all
know
here.
What was that. I know,
Eli, I know the girls were here. Eli was here. I'm sure Joe was here.
Yeah, I didn't even know that was popping out. I walked out and somebody's performing. Yeah. Wait a minute.
Yep.
You know another thing that happened last night?
I don't know who that was.
I don't
either.
Andy gets all the concerts. It's like every day, here comes the alt banner. It's like, Jesus, who's here now? Can we get somebody to pull up for us? Anybody?
I got a FaceTime during the 102.5 show, and it was Jazz, Sean, Ryan going down the slide on the playground and stuff. And I saw Jazz FaceTiming, and I was like, okay, I'm going to pick it up, and it's going to be pitch black behind her. Oh, it was light as hell.
Yeah,
I left the building and it was light as hell. I said, oh, we almost there.
Yeah, I hung around for like a couple minutes. I had to take Complex back to his spot and we walked downstairs. It was like, oh, it's not daylight.
Yeah, you can't see
the
sun.
But it's not dark.
Yeah, the sun's not out, but it's still light outside.
We almost there, man.
Hopefully this time we do the right thing and get rid of that daylight saving.
What's wrong with it being dark outside?
Nothing.
No, I don't mind it. It's just
not at 5.
It's just tough. Well, no, it's tough because we are inside all day. So to walk out and feel like there's a little bit of life left, it's not the worst. It's not the worst.
Hey, Jesse, who's D-Lo going to crap on today?
I don't know. I'm kind of wondering. Like, he.
There was one I thought about it yesterday. He said it on Tuesday. I can't remember. I was like, oh, yeah, he did kind of Crap on them too.
Who did you go at yesterday?
The airport.
Oh yeah.
No, it wasn't the airport. The airport's fine. It was the stupid ass rabbit.
Morton's and Ruth's Chris. That was an all time. That was an all time moment right there.
But it really wasn't.
No, it was. You said that from the heart. You said that from the heart. That wasn't like, oh, like went to so and so and got it like a stupid. You went to that one place where you had to cook your own food. That wasn't that. Like you was like, oh, that was an inconvenience. Morton's is like, no, I hate you. I hate everything about you. I hate anyone associated with Morton's.
I hate the way that you walk. Yeah, the way that you talk. I hate the way that you dress. If I catch flight, it's going to be direct.
I thought we were going to have to go to Morton's or something. I don't know.
Oh, man. I remembered it yesterday. I can't remember now, though.
Okay. Well, I'm sure it'll be something. It's about to be Jesse the way he's
acting. Oh, no.
What did I do?
Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. You hit the, he's going to say, I don't get sick any second.
Is that not something that Dame says? You said it like twice this week already.
Because I don't. Now, I might not always feel great.
Bro, you wiped your nose like twice since the show started. Stop.
Oh, man, it's cool. I'm good.
It's the flu game, man. It's the flu game.
Ain't no flu game, man. I'm good. We riding. We riding. That's all we do, man. We ride. Mikey Winfield going to be here with us in just a couple of minutes. He's performing at the Punchline this weekend. Speaking of sick or ill or out. Anthony Davis going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks. I'm seeing Jackie walk to the door, which leads me to believe she's probably letting Mikey in right now.
There we go.
Anthony Davis going to be reevaluated in a couple of weeks. Kyle brought that up a couple of seconds ago. I mean, my mind on Dallas hasn't changed. Like I you know, they had a nice little run. I think 4 of 7.
Mm-hmm. They
without. In those last few minutes.
Yeah, and they did what the Kings didn't do. They were able to win their last two games going into the break, so they're feeling good about where they stand.
And I wonder.
Or at least getting to that point. And then, like, same thing as the Kings, just trying to get their legs under them. And they were able to do that with two wins.
I wonder if that's where it ended, though.
Could be.
I'm genuinely curious. Like, we've seen, I mean, I don't think it's far-fetched to wonder if this team kind of takes a downturn a little bit because we, you know, had the trade deadline, was it last year, get to the All-Star break, they come out, they're crazy. They're very literally a new basketball team.
Yeah.
That goes all the way to the NBA Finals. I don't think it's far-fetched to think it could go the other way this time. Now, I don't think there's a scenario where they accelerate or go on anything even remotely close to what they did the year prior, last year. But There could be a scenario where they just kind of flatlined and are the same, but if I had to lean towards something and put some of Kenny's money out there, it would be on a downturn.
You think Kyrie Irving can kind of, I don't even know if this is right, but turn back the clock and kind of keep him afloat or even maybe do something there?
I do. That's the one thing that's making me feel like it is not definitive. Like, that's the one thing, and it's Kyrie in the way that Kyrie has been playing the last 2 weeks or so.
And I'm with you on that. And one thing I can say about them, that at least that I feel about this Mavericks team, is they're tougher than a $2 steak. They've had some wins since the Luka drama that has been like, no, we're here. We're going to compete.
Yep.
And Jason Kidd, that's a testament to him as a coach. And
good thing he's still a coach.
Well, you know, now he's
not a bystander.
Now he's
anymore.
Got a coach.
Yeah.
You know, he can't just watch like the rest of us.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to, like, come to play in every game, and that's valuable. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not going to fold up the 10. If anything, they may be, I don't know if inspired is the right word, but maybe so, inspired by the doubt that everybody has for the Mavericks because Luka's gone.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Like, shut up. Shut up and let your team play. Like, let those guys do what they do, and maybe – maybe it was just a matter of
was it that article you were for, was it like the Mavericks talking again, like, or was it like source?
Nah, it was a little bit more of the Mavericks. They wish they had game plan for the aftermath. A little bit more of this kind of went crazy. We should have planned for it.